Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. May the Lord bless this reading today and our understanding of it. Well, today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. We're well along into March now, and in just a few more weeks, we'll be waving palm branches and the children will be processing in as we sing. And then right after that, of course, is Holy Week. My prayer for all of you this season is that it has been a time of meditation and reflection of your lives, and a preparation time as we look towards that very emotional week that leads up to Easter Sunday. So perhaps it's important, or appropriate rather, that we encounter some verses this morning that speak of God's deep love for us. I don't know about you, but I find these verses very reassuring, because oftentimes we're pretty hard on ourselves. Whenever we go through a time of reflection and we think about some of the things we've done, we beat ourselves up over our moral failures, our indiscretions, or poorly chosen words, maybe even the hurt feelings that we might have caused. We harbor regrets for missed opportunities and broken relationships. And some days it's enough to make you just want to stay in bed. At least it is for me. But I want to assure you this morning that this is not the way God wants us to live. God loves us, each one of us. God loves you. Just the way you are, broken and flawed as you might be. As I was studying this week, I found a quote that I really liked. And it kind of combines the verses from Numbers that were read about the serpents in the wilderness with this reading from the Gospel of John. And it was written by a theologian and author named Jean Vanier. And this is what he said. This journey, our pilgrimage of love, begins and deepens as we hear God murmur within our hearts. I love you just as you are. I so love you that I come to heal you and to give you life. Do not be afraid. Open your hearts. It is all right to be yourself. You do not have to be perfect or clever. You are loved just as you are. As you become more conscious that you are loved, you will want to respond to that love with love and grow in love. So I read that, and it prompted me to entitle our sermon this morning, Heart Murmurs, which I thought was clever, but you don't have to. Anyhow, well, we receive a great reminder of God's love when we read in the Gospel of John one of the verses that, the one that you stumbled over, Ruth, but the one that is well known, perhaps more than any other. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And if I randomly walked through here and asked you to quote John 3:16, with the exception of Ruth, I bet 90% of you could get it right, without even thinking about it. We can't avoid this verse, can we? It's well known, even to those that don't believe in Jesus Christ. It's so well known, in fact, that to try to preach on it is a little difficult. It seems rather straightforward as to what the meaning is, and we're all so familiar with it. So we're left asking, what could we possibly discover new about John 3:16? Well, don't be dismayed. The Reverend Dr. Samuel Cruz, he's an associate professor of church and society at Union Theological Seminary in New York, suggests that in recent history anyway, this verse has been removed from its context and perhaps overly romanticized. It's been romanticized to the point where it may have lost its true meaning when John wrote it. And what he means by that is that we see it as a somewhat simplistic view that God sent Jesus to come to earth to save it with love by literally sacrificing his body without attempting to rid the world of evil, but rather by magically saving people who believed in him. Dr. Cruz goes on to say that it is very likely that this interpretation was not at all what John intended. Well, this prompts us to perhaps ask some questions and to take a closer look. Questions like, what does believing in Jesus really mean? Why did Jesus need to come to the earth? Was it because of sin? And if so, what kind of sin? If you do a study of the Gospel of John, you'll find that John sees sin from more of a corporate perspective rather than an individual perspective. And he sees it as very structural, systemic things like injustice and hate and lack of mercy. So to better understand the context of our scripture today, we need to perhaps take a step back and understand what's going on in these verses. Today's reading is part of a conversation between Jesus and a certain Pharisee you may have heard of, named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus comes at night, in the darkness, so as not to be seen by anyone else. And that's an important and very interesting fact, because the verses immediately following John 3:16, they speak of condemnation and judgment, and how God sent Jesus not to condemn and judge, but to save. And then we read this. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I think Jesus was speaking fairly directly to Nicodemus at that point. I opened my devotion this morning. I get a daily devotion. It's Henry Nouwen. I don't know if you've heard of Henry Nouwen, but I've really been rereading some of his work lately. And it's easy for us to identify with Nicodemus, I think. Nouwen wrote this. He said, I love Jesus but want to hold on to my friends, even when they do not lead me closer to Jesus. I love Jesus, but I want to hold on to my own independence, even when that independence brings me no real freedom. I love Jesus, but I do not want to give up on my writing plans, my travel plans, and speaking plans, even when those plans are often more to my glory than to the glory of God. So yeah, I think we can identify with Nicodemus sometimes. Well, in John's gospel, I mentioned the world to be saved requires a process of ending hatred, injustice, and oppression, and replacing it with things like justice, compassion, mercy, and love. But some in this world will choose hate over love, evil over good, and therefore reject the love that God in Jesus Christ. It means that believing in Jesus is not just a personal decision, but has a lot to do with how we respond to these things, evil, hatred, exploitation and injustice. Dr. Cruz summarizes it. He says, we can conclude that for John, believing in and accepting Jesus' message had more to do with agreeing to his teachings than with having some sort of change of heart. The challenge posed by the advent of Jesus is that we are called to a stance about whom we are, what we stand for, and what exactly we believe. And I would add a follow-up question. Do our subsequent decisions and actions bear out what we profess with our lips? Or do we, like Nicodemus, move silently in the darkness so as not to be seen? Well, the world in John's gospel is a place of darkness, but it's a place of darkness into which the light shines. It's a place where Jesus was rejected, and yet Jesus tells Nicodemus that God loves the world. So it's not just a place of darkness, it's a place of love. And he loved the world so much, he sent his son. And that's a repeated theme throughout this gospel of John. It's mentioned over 50 times. And yes, some are going to be judged, not so much by the actions of Jesus, but by our own rejection of him. So as believers in Jesus Christ and his teachings, we too are sent into this world. We are God's agents, and we are to reflect God's character, God's true self, and God's love for the world. For Nicodemus, this might come as quite a shock, even more so than being told that he must be born again, for instance. You see, Nicodemus would have been quite willing to admit that God loves the Israelite people, the chosen people. But here, by saying that God loves all the world, this meant that God favored the Romans, the Assyrians, the Persians, all those people that the Jewish people detested. Perhaps if we think about it, this can be a bit of a shock for us. Are you prepared to love the world as God did? Does this mean that we are to love all peoples, even those that we see as enemies? I think it does. I started my message describing how God loves each one of us, despite our flaws and our shortcomings. And I read a quote about the holy murmurs within our hearts, opening ourselves to hear that voice within us. We are to live by the truth and to come out of the shadows and into the light so that our deeds may be plainly seen and people will know what we have done has been done in the eyes of God. And through the words of Jesus and his conversation with Nicodemus, we are challenged today to take a stand about who we are, what we believe, and what we stand for. You see, we can't really stay neutral in the midst of wrongdoing. Today's message is letting us know that whether or not to believe in Jesus cannot be a neutral decision. Jesus demands we take a stand, which requires us to make some hard decisions. Neutrality and indecisiveness are not an option. To follow Jesus might mean that we have to go against many of the things of our culture and our society, things that are brutal and sinful. And we need to prayerfully think about how we do this, because it's not a call for violence. It's not a call for anger. It's a call for love, not just as individuals, but as a church body and as a church universal. Let us pray. Lord God, I thank you for each one here this morning. We thank you that you did send your son because you love us and you love this world. Help us, Lord, to be reflections of that love to those that we meet, those that we see each day. Help us to fulfill the purpose for which you have sent us. We pray this in the name of your precious son, Jesus Christ. Amen.